Come on, give the Lord some great praise in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody said, it's not all in the shout, but it's not all in just sitting there either. Some others have said, well, it's just emotional. And you're right. It is emotional. How can you not be happy over a God that's taken away pain, heartache, misery, the bottle, drugs? He's put your family back together. He's put your marriage. How could you not raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus? Let the world call us crazy. I'm just crazy for him. Let them shout over the ones that scored a touchdown and hit a home run. I'm going to shout over the one that bled and died for me. Hallelujah. Turn around to somebody, slap them a high five, and say, you better look out. I'm fixing to have a Holy Ghost shout in this place. And I may throw an elbow. I may throw a kick. I'm not trying to kick you. I'm trying to kick the devil. I'm trying to kick him on out of here. Hallelujah. Amen. Glad to have everybody in the house of the Lord today. Believe that God's going to do a great work in our midst. He's already done a great work. And thank you for your worship. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'm so glad to feel the presence of God here. There's a lot of people that don't get this benefit, that don't get this opportunity, but you have this privilege to step in an apostolic service and feel the power of God. Yes, can I tell you tonight, it is real. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. God is still in the business to change lives. And if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, today's a great day to be baptized in Jesus' name. We do have water. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, this is your night. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, Bible says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. There was a time. You look good now, you clean up well, but there was a time when you didn't walk in this way and you didn't look this way and you weren't always good. You were a knucklehead. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conversations not so lovely. You said things that weren't so nice. People had to, you know, cover their ears, and you had to say, kids, don't listen to that. In times past, yeah, after the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, somebody shout nature, the children of wrath, even as others. And I'm preaching from verse number 4, but God. Somebody shout, but God. No, somebody shout, but God. Come on, get your preacher voice and say, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. I want to talk to you tonight on those two words, but God. Look at that person next to you and say, but God. You're sitting next to me because of God. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Thank you, Brother Ramos. Sounded wonderful tonight. We live in uncertain times. We live in troubled times. We live and we're a part of a wicked and perverse generation. We live in a time where nation is against nation, where evil is against good, where darkness is against light. We live in a time where there are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We live in an era of time where there are despisers of those that are good. We live in a time where people are unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, disobedience to parents and authority. Nobody is going to tell me what I can or what I can't do. We're living in that kind of environment. 2 Timothy chapter 3 confirms this, that we are living in the last days. Somebody shout, we're living in the last days. The problems and the pressures of life bombard us every day. Pressures like financial problems, marital problems, relationship problems, kid problems. Anybody have kid problems? If you are a parent at one time or another, you had kid problems. Sister Lupita's fixing to run around the world, this aisle. So am I. But we had kid problems and family problems and health problems and on and on and on. There are pressures of life all around us. Pressures to perform, pressures on the job, pressures at home, pressures of deadlines, pressures of life that consume us at every turn. I read an article of a young man that was enrolled in college. He was $5,000 in debt with a wonderful gift that God gave him, a credit card. A lot of people say, God gave me that car. God gave me that credit card. Oh, really? But when the bill came out, you said, the devil gave me that credit card. The devil made me do this. No, it wasn't the devil and it wasn't God. It was you. Amen. Hallelujah. But there was this guy. He was $5,000 in debt with a Barclays credit card, and he was overdrawn on his checking account by $3,000. $8,000. And he wrote a nice letter to his family. And the letter basically said, please let them know that I love them. And then because of the insurmountable pressure, he took his own life. All because of the pressures of the debt that he owed for $8,000. His family made this statement, I wish he would have let go of his pride and just let us know what he was facing. We would have helped him out. We would have been there for him. We would have made a way just to figure it out. $8,000. He took his own life, all because of the pressures of life, all because he saw no hope in sight. He saw no way out. Can I tell you tonight that there is an enemy, there is an adversary of your soul that does not like you, that does not play fair. The Bible said that he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you to be consumed about your problems. He wants you to feel the weight of the pressures of life upon your shoulders. And he wants to whisper into your ear, there is no hope. There is no way out. You are a failure, just like your daddy was a failure. You're done. It's all over. You'll never make it. Give up. Quit. Just end it all now. Nobody will miss you. Nobody will even know that you're gone. This world will be better without you in it. There is an adversary, oh yeah, that wants to make you feel lonely. There is a devil out there that wants to get you bitter. There is an adversary out there that's seeking to get you offended, that wants you to get all alone and realize that nobody cares and nobody understands and nobody loves you and nobody's going to miss you. That is what the enemy wants you to believe. But I've come tonight on a Sunday evening in Tulare, California, at Abundant Life Center, to let somebody know that there is a God that has everything under control. You may not see it. You may not understand it. You may not comprehend it, but I've got a God that's bigger than your problem. I've got a God bigger than your pressure. I've got a God that fights for you. Even when you can't see it, he's working. Even when you can't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. The God that I serve is a way maker. The God that I serve has it all under control. Two greatest words that has ever been recorded in the Word of God. 43 times in his Word you'll find these two words. But God. Can I tell you tonight, I don't deserve to be here. But God. I don't deserve to feel what I felt tonight and what I'm feeling at this very moment. I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't look the part. I know I don't fit in. But God, there is a God that loves me. There is a God that believes in me. There is a God that cares for me. There is a God that will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm here to tell somebody, you've got a friend in Jesus. When it seems like it's hopeless and you see no light at the end of the tunnel, there is a God that wants to step in on your seam and say, hey, the battle's not yours, but the battle belongs to me. Somebody ought to clap your hands. Somebody ought to lift your voice and give God praise. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, but God. Ephesians 2:1. I was dead in trespass and sin. There was no way out. I was dead. Can I ask somebody what the definition of the word dead means? What? No life. Not breathing. No pulse. D-E-A-D, dead. I was dead in trespass of sins. Where in times past I walked according to the course, I just tried to do what everybody was doing. I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be involved in it. I didn't know that association that I was with, I didn't know that I wasn't. I was just walking according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil. He ain't your friend. And can I just stop and pause right there? There's something about when you praise God. When you begin to worship God and you lift up your hands like we were doing that tonight. And we were praising God. You know what happens? Our praise and our worship goes through the air. Somebody understand that. When you worship and you praise, it starts cutting into the air. Bible said there is the prince of the power of the air, and all the devil can do is get out of the way, because when you praise and you worship God, you're cutting the air and you're saying, God, I need you to abide here. That's why Jesus said, when you praise, I dwell there. When you worship, I abide there. I'm here to tell somebody, when you're up against a wall and you're up against insurmountable obstacles, it's a time to lift up your hands and give God praise. Praise will get you out of it. Pastor, it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense to your flesh. I had a guy tell me he was involved in all this stuff and he never felt joy. He never felt peace. He never felt a breakthrough. And I said, bro, do this. I said, when you go to church, before the music even starts, before the pastor even gets the microphone, take off running. He goes, what? I said, do a lap. Raise your hands and shout, Jesus! And he looked at me. He said, they'll think I'm crazy. I can't do that. And then he made a very profound statement. He said, I'll be in the flesh. I said, I hope you will be. It'd be scary if you weren't in this flesh. I said, but you're given notice on your flesh that your flesh is not going to dictate your worship. Your flesh is not going to dictate your relationship with God. Your flesh says, sit down there. You're broke, you're bitter, you're disgusted. You've got no reason to shout. That's what the flesh says. But the Spirit says, I'm going to connect with the Lord. And when you begin to praise and you begin to worship, all that matters is my praise is going up. And when praise goes up, the glory comes down. There's something about it. We were hitting that when we were worshiping a little while ago. Did anybody feel what I was feeling? People were getting touched and people were forgetting about that's what happens. I don't want anybody to raise your hands, but let me just, those of you that have ever sipped on alcohol before, or those of you that have ever got drunk before, you may have been shy before you started drinking. But after you started drinking, everybody started looking good. And before you were drinking, you had a frown on your face. But now you're drinking, you love everybody. The same is it when you start connecting in God and you start connecting in worship and praise and you start drinking of the living water. You start drinking of that Spirit that God says, I've come to give you life. You start doing that, everybody starts looking good, and you don't care what you look like and you don't care what you sound like, because I've come to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. What you need is a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. And that person that's so mean, that's so ugly, that's backbiting, they need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. You get them here in an atmosphere like this, God changes them. And you're like, wow, what happened? Well, they walked the wrong path for so long. And they messed up. And I was a child of disobedience. Can I just pause there and tell some parents, you don't have to teach your kids to disobey you. You don't have to teach your kids to lie, to steal, and to cheat. It's already in their DNA because of our daddy Adam. And because of Mama Eve, because of what they did, we became sinners. We took on the children of disobedience in us. Bible says Romans 3:23. Because some of you are like, well, I don't really completely understand that. Well, Romans 3:23. For all, somebody shout all. I know it's going to burst your bubble. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of every one of you. Were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But there was a God that said, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm not going to leave you dead in your trespass of sin. I know you walked according to the course of this world. I know you said things and done things you should have never done. But I'm going to tell you, I've come to give you mercy. I've come to love you. I was dead, but God hath quickened me together. By grace am I saved. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. I was dead. I was lost. The world didn't want me anymore. But God, who is rich in mercy, reached down and He saved me. And I tell you tonight, I'm not the same man I used to be. I don't talk the same way. I don't act the same way. I don't dress the same way. Why? Because I'm something? No, because I realize I am nothing. But there was a God that gave me mercy. There was a God that gave me grace. There was a God that gave me a second chance. That's why tonight I'll raise my hands. That's why I'll jump. That's why I scream. Because I'm trying to declare to Jesus, He means everything to me, more than the earthly goods, more than gold and silver. I want Him to know how thankful I am because He loved me. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Genesis 31:7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God, suffered him not to hurt me. Thank God that God had my back. Genesis 50, 20. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But God meant it good to bring it to pass this day to do what? To save much people alive. 1 Samuel 23:14. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him out of his hand. Psalms 49:14. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them. Anybody ever felt like death was just feeding on you? And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall continue. Consume them in the grave from their dwelling, but God will redeem thy soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 75:6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up one another. What he has saying, Pastor, I'm telling you, there is a God fighting for you. There is a God that believes in you. This battle is not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It's God's battle. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. You can't do this by yourself, but you can with God. He said in his word, he that's within me is greater than he that's within the world. No money in the bank. Bills are due. But God. Doctor says it's your heart. But God. Doctor said it's cancer. It's terminal. You don't have long to live. But God. Your family don't want you to live for God. But God. You have pain in your body, but God. You've messed up and made some bad choices in life, but God. You've got marriage problems, but God. You've got financial problems, but God. You've got family pressures, but God. Are you hearing, Pastor, today? I'm telling you that God is greater than what you're up against. 1 Corinthians 10:13, therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Can I just tell you, there are times that you fall in a rut and you're barely hanging on. You're trying to put up, everything's good, everything's great. Never had a bad day in my life. And you know that's a lie. And you know inside you're saying, God, I really need you to come through. Can I tell you, you serve a God that is faithful. You've got to put stock in that. You've got to put your trust and your hope in that. You can't listen to your family and you can't listen to your friends that says the church doesn't have your answer and they can't help you. I'm telling you, really, the church can't help you and the church doesn't have your answer, but God does. It's not in the music, but it's in God. It's not in the preacher, but it's in God. I'm telling you, if you'll activate faith tonight and you'll realize, I just got to have God. I don't care what others say. I don't care what others do. I'm going to put trust and I'm going to put hope in a God because God is faithful. Whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm facing, God is faithful and there is no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape. Can I tell you that this trial that you're in is not there to kill you? The wilderness that you're facing, it's not there to take you out. But you say, Pastor, it's bleak. Pastor, it's daunting. I don't have the answer. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Well, can I just turn your faith around and look upward and realize there is a God that has everything under control? Can I tell you that God is so big and so great, there's no thing that you face where God is surprised. You'll never hear God text OMG. You'll never surprise him. You'll never catch him off guard. He knows the beginning to the end. And he's so big that he's not conformed to time. We are. We just can't wait to get to Friday. Or next Friday, it's payday. If I could just hold on to Friday. And come Friday, it's already spent. If I just get to next Friday. And it's always pushing it and pushing and pushing. And you're saying, God, don't you see me? God, don't you know where I'm at? But God is saying, if you'll just hold on. Because you'll never know that God is a provider. You'll never know that he's a Jehovah Jireh if you don't first have a need. You've got to have a need to know that he's a healer. So what you're up against is not there to kill you. It's to build you. It's to mold you. It's to turn your focus around and turn your focus on him. And sometimes here, Pastor, listen. Sometimes God doesn't get you out quick because he knows if he does, it's going to be a long time when you talk to him again. Because the only time you talk to him is when you have trouble. And the only time you talk to God is when you have difficulty. And the only time you come to church is when you have a need. And God is trying to say, hey, I'm not just a God that's there to provide needs. I'm a God that wants a relationship with you. I'm a God that wants to commune with you. I'm a God that he said, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. He wants to walk with you like he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He wants to talk with you. That ought to put your head up. Put your shoulders back. Give you a apostolic swag. You know what I'm saying? When you walk in the job tomorrow, they're like, what's up with this cat? Where? What you been drinking? Oh, it's over 2,000 years old. What'd you do? Well, I'm just a king's kid. I just got royal blood flowing through my veins. I just got a God that takes care of me. Yeah, but you got bills that are due and there's no money to pay. Yeah, but I've got a God that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've got a God that can take coin out of a fish's mouth. I'm not going to give up on God. Bishop talked about it this morning. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Trial's not going to kill you. That trial is not going to take you out. But that trial is going to make you. Why? Because God is faithful. Verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And my question is, why would God love you? What's so good about you? Really nothing special about you. I mean, you always say, God, if you'll get me out, I'll never do this again. And you go back in that same trap. But God still loves you. God still gives mercy. God still gives grace. And you are the apple in his eye. He loves you. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. I've got to hurry. I'm almost done. Musicians, you can come. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. If you look up the meaning of Kadesh, Abraham was journeying Kadesh, which is the holy sacred place. And if you look up the meaning of the word Shur, it is a wall on the outside of Egypt or a wall on the outside of the world, because we know Egypt and the world relate. And so Abraham was between the holy and the wall of the world, or he was between the holy and the unholy. We went to a place a few years ago. I think I took my boy with me, and we were driving in, bringing the junior camp partition walls. And we come to the campground, and I looked at the director, and he knew who I was. He said, "Oh, you're going to have to go through the complex and go this way." He said, "Pastor, could you do me a favor? Could you just not look at everything you see?" I was like, "Sure, whatever." And then he prefaced his remark. He said, "The reason is we've got a Burning Man event going on." And I was like, "Okay." Didn't know what it was until I Googled it. He said, "Well, let me just break it down. We got holy going into unholy." He said, "Just pray." I said, "Not a problem. God's with me." And God is with you. He'll be a light in a dark world. And when the world is at its darkest, the church ought to be at its brightest. And so Abraham found himself between the holy and the unholy. And in between this place, he's confronted with the king of Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Why would Abraham say that his wife was Sarah? And I tell you, he was afraid. Because in those days, they'd kill the dude just to get the girl. So Abraham had pressures of life. You said, "Yeah, but he's Father Abraham. We sing his songs, has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them." But he had fear. There's something about fear. When fear gets a hold of you, you can't think clearly. That's why God is not the author of fear or confusion, but of love and a sound mind. But Abraham was afraid for his own life, and he lied. When Abimelech, the king, asked about her, fear and worry kicks in, and Abimelech, the Bible says, takes her. And this is what God does in verse 3. Abraham is scared. Abraham makes a mistake. But God came to the defense of Abraham. I'm going to tell you, you have made a mistake. You've said things, done things you wish to God you could take back. But I'm here to tell you there's a God tonight that does not rule with a big old sledgehammer getting ready to bump you on the head. There's a God who said, "Whosoever will, whoever's tired, whoever's weary, come unto me and I'll give you rest." So here's what happened. The king takes her, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, thank God, this is pretty funny. God is fighting for Abraham. And God talks to Abimelech in a dream and says, "Buddy, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." Verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Said he unto me, "She is my sister. Even she herself said, he is my brother. And in the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I've done this." The king quickly explains, "I didn't touch her." And God said unto him a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of the heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me." Meaning God had a shield over Sarah. And God had Abraham's back. You may think that what you're up against is insurmountable. And you may think that you can't make it. And the devil wants to take you out. But there is a God. There is a God that I can trust in, Bubba. There's a God that I can believe in. I remember, Bubba, I was talking to both you and your wife, and I asked you, why did you want premarital counseling? Remember what you said to me? I remember. You said, Pastor, you're a man of God. And I need a covering. And you need a covering. You may have not started out right, but I'm here tonight to tell you, you need a covering tonight. Stop running after the things that don't really do the trick. Stop trying to abuse your body. Stop trying to give in to the tactics of the enemy and realize today, I'm going to break some curses today. I'm going to break some bad behaviors today. I'm going to break some bad choices today. And I'm going to put God back where he belongs in my life. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Could you just right now, before we go any further, could you just close your eyes and could you just love him for just a few minutes? Could you just let him know how much he means to you? Could you connect with a God that's fighting for you? Even though you can't see it, even though you can't feel it, could you just connect with a God that loves you? Come on, your family needs this. Your marriage needs this. Your kids need this. Your finances need this. I know you're under pressure, but God, I know it doesn't look like you see any hope in sight, but God, I know everything else is failing, but God is here for you tonight. And you're not here by accident. You're not here by mere coincidence, but you're here in the divine will of God, and God knew you're going to be here. And I challenge you tonight, forget about that person next to you. Forget about that person in front of you and behind you. And get out of your pew and make your way down to this front and say, God, I'm going to trust in you. God, I'm going to put my hope in you. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of doing it by myself. God, I need you to come through. I need you to come through in my finances. I need you to come through in my family, in my relationships. I need you, God, to help me with all the past regrets and all the past mistakes. I need you, God, to step in. Come on. You come to a God that is rich in mercy. You come to a God that's made a way of escape. You come to a God that says, I can handle it. Lift up your voice all across this building. Let your spirit reign. Let your spirit begin to soar to the heavens. Let your praise, let your worship cut up to the prince of the air. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the power of the Lord here today. I feel the healing virtues of God in this house tonight. I know you've tried a lot of things. I know you've prayed a lot of prayers. But God, I need you today. I trust you. Come on, all across the building. There's a God fighting for you. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that believes in you. Come on, I feel him here tonight. I feel him in this house. You don't have to run no more. You don't have to duck your head no more. There is a God that loves you. There is a God that believes in you. There is a God that will make a way for you. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Oh, I feel him here today. I feel him here today. God, I trust in you. I put my faith in you, God. I put my faith in you and my confidence in you.
Oh, I need you, God. Need you in my life. Need you in my family, God. Shataya koraya nirasi. Yaraya rakorasi. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I feel him here. Oh, I love you today. God, I've tried a lot of things, but God, they've let me down. But God, I need you. Need you in my life, God. Need you in my life, God. Shatara kayara soraki. In the name. That's my friend, God. Bless his life, God. Be with him, God, I pray. Touch Trey. Shatara kayara so. Can't do this by myself, God. God, I need you. I need you today, God. Need you today, God. Oh, I feel him here. I feel him here. God, I love you today. Touch this unit, God. Touch this family, I pray. Let the blessings of heaven overshadow this godly and faithful couple, God. Great is their faith. Bless them indeed. Shatara kayato. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray for Vic. I pray for my buddy, God. Pray you touch him, God. Pray the hand of the Lord, God, to saturate him, God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Bless him, I pray. Bless his home and his kids, God. Yes, God. I love you today. I love you today, God. Oh, I pray for Nicole. I pray for home, God. Pray for her marriage and her family. Oh, I pray you'd give us strength, God. Oh, I pray you bless her indeed. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel him here. Just love him a little bit. Love on him a little bit. Oh, I love you, God. I'll trust you. Still I. Still. I'll listen, God. Hallelujah. Nobody like you, God. Rage is on. Hallelujah. Still I trust. Hallelujah. 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 Sharako. I'll follow. Still I will listen to your calling. Oh, rage is on, and I can't find my way. Still I will trust you, Lord. Why don't you sing that to the Lord? Still I will trust you. Still I follow. Still I will listen to your every calling. Storm rages on, can't find my way. Still I will trust. Will trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a God that's fighting for you. There's a God that believes in you. You just can't listen to the naysayers in life. Sometimes naysayers are the ones that are the closest to you, but they can also be the ones that derail you from what God has in store for you. And you got to say, you know what? I know where my strength lies. I know where my hope comes from. And my hope don't come from the bottle. It comes from the Lord. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. Amen. Stay in here as long as you like and pray. The Hyphen Group have a wonderful fundraiser outside, burgers and all that great stuff. Find two or three people. Love on somebody. God bless you.